Welcome back to Pints and Pairings with Curtis Taylor, a.k.a. Hophead Said. I'm Jason Hendrick, the Hunger Man from Everybody's Hungry, and we are broadcasting live from Lauterton Studios on our new platform, Google Plus Hangouts on Air.
All kinds of new stuff happening. We got Google Plus, where it's saving it right to YouTube. Not that that's necessarily a good thing, because
I think it's awesome for me, because I didn't have any video content for a long time.
Well, it's the one thing that is a bummer is through Ustream, we could play music during the breaks, and now it's kind of quiet. But coming off of the show last night, I didn't sleep well this morning. I was excited about last night's show, I'm excited about today's show. I've got plenty of energy today, that's for sure. And
are you going to start singing?
No, I won't sing, because you know, if I sang more than 3-4 words, then I'm infringing on somebody else's copyright, unless it's my own song, and I'm not that talented. However, we're going in, I mean, other than IPAs, okay, and there were 5 of those.
We will be revisiting those.
Certainly. Other than IPAs, Belgian style beers is my second favorite style, just because there's no limit to what can happen. I mean, whatever yeast you want to use, whatever sugars you want to use, whatever malts you want to use, whatever spices you want to add, it's all there.
Yeah, you're looking at a great hodgepodge of ingredients and creativity. As you mentioned, the yeast thing right there, you could use the same recipe and 5 different kinds of yeast, and you're going to come up with different styles of beer. So that is a factor, and a variable alone gives you so many styles.
Well, and for a long time, Belgium was, I consider Belgium the best brewing country in the world. And
so
that was
brewing mecca.
Well, and I still think it's an incredible one. The United States has taken over, and it's not a bias because I live here. It's just because any one of these styles we can get here now too.
Yeah. And so, I think that's the distinction that you need to make sure people are aware of. Style wise, America has recreated world styles over. But the Belgian styles, they're still pretty true to form. They're not getting too crazy with a bunch of stouts and porters, as far as I can tell. At least not in the markets that we have. So
yeah,
true to their origins.
There are some really nice Belgian stouts that have a little bit of souring, some funk in it, which are just fabulous. You know, some dark cherry kind of sours. There are some IPA Belgian things, which I don't care for right now. They may grow into themselves. I'm not sure. You know, it's a really young style. But today we're hitting BJCP category number 16. And so we're going to hit, we're going to talk 16A, the wit beer to start off with, which other than the Hef and American wheat beer, this is probably the other one that stands out, or is what I should say is the flagship beer of many American companies, because it's so approachable.
Very approachable. The versatility of this beer is pretty wide-reaching. And part of why I say that is, interestingly enough, we're getting into a cooler fall kind of time frame of the year, right? These wit beers are often a summertime kind of focus. They're often a summertime beer, but at the same time, just like the label shows with the Allagash White, there are some great orange and fall leaves in the label. The crispness and the refreshingness, I don't even know if that's a good word.
It's good enough.
Excellent. It lends itself to this time of year as well. The air temperature may be a little bit cooler, but the beer still allows you a refreshing quality and great spice. So even though it would be something to stave off a hot summer day, it's great in the fall as well.
Right. One of the things too that I'm noticing right off the bat on this is the subtle spice, the subtle yeast derived aromas that are coming out of the beer. So just kind of comparing it to the beer that we had in the pre-show. So if you go back and listen to that one, this was the Seif beer from Antwerp. And this one, this is kind of like its baby brother to this one. Sure. When you're talking aroma. And
I think there's a lot of tropical notes too. You're talking about, you know, that yeasty kind of brewing scenario, but there's a little bit of pineapple and banana in there. And some of those esters that do definitely come from the yeast. There's no denying where that aroma is originating from, but it lends a more tropical familiarity.
Definitely. And One of the things I'm kind of struck by, and maybe it's because it was sitting, and if I had turned the bottle up, is how clear the beer is right now.
Yeah, there should be some sediment at the bottom of the bottle that we did not get in the glass from that yeast.
And the sediment is especially in something like this, is a protein. And so all of the wheat protein that is settling out, there may be a tiny bit of yeast in there, but this was not a bottle conditioned beer. So anything that's in the bottom of this, you can shake it up and be confident that you're not getting a belly full of yeast, which is always fun. But the protein on this has settled out. It's been sitting in the fridge for probably 2 weeks straight up and hasn't been touched. So it can easily be that it's settled out. One of the things that I brought with this when I was looking at these beers was some fruit, and I have some raspberries. I had no idea. I just thought, you know, this seems like something that I would like to try anyway. And unfortunately, the raspberries aren't the giant sweetness, or maybe that's going to work to the benefit.
Yeah, I think it works nice because these raspberries, they don't have that early pick tartness. You know, we're largely at the back end of a lot of raspberries in terms of the harvesting, but the sweetness and that subtle tartness comes together really great with the crispness and those tropical fruits that are in this beer. And then, like you said, there's a little bit of that typical kind of yeasty, wheat and earthy kind of tone.
There was just something about it when I saw these raspberries this morning. I thought, I need to get these. There's something about it. And sometimes you just know what's happening, but I didn't think that it was going to be this good. Like the tart in the beer, which is another thing that I want to address too with wheat beers in general, is there can be a little tartness in the beers, and that's coming from the wheat. The wheat can add just a tiny bit of tartness in it, which gives it that refreshing sort of flavor that has made them so popular as a summer drink, is that they're light, they're fresh, they're crisp, they're refreshing, a little tart, so they kind of cleanse your palate. The tart with the raspberries and the beer are almost spot on for the ones that I've had.
And what's great about the raspberries here is there's enough sugar and residual sweetness in the fruit that it actually toned back some of those tropical notes in the beer and made it more of a kind of a standard, and I don't want to downplay the beer by using the word standard, but it gets us back to some of those grain bill notes that we're accustomed to.
Exactly. That was the thing that I think was the most surprising, was that the raspberry and the tartness came together so well. But then all of a sudden, what I wasn't getting before, because I was getting spice and I was kind of getting banana and I was getting some of these other things that were yeast profiles, as soon as you take that out, then you're getting the bready wheat flavor of the malt bill, which is just fantastic.
But as the residual sugar and sweetness of the raspberry dissipates in my mouth and that palate starts to refresh, the beer is coming back again into some of the tropical notes. So it's really cool to see that it's not crushing the palate and it's not overpowering the beer. They're balancing, they're dancing together in a real good harmonious way.
Yeah, this was a fantastic discovery this morning, and I'm so glad that this is working out the way that it is. The one thing you have to be careful, though, is, you know, we live, well, as you drove up, you either drove through raspberry fields or you drove through strawberry fields. I mean, this is where these things are coming from, is right here. So we get our pick of raspberries, and I never had a raspberry like this until I moved here. You know, they were
most
always
the time
picked, they're picked early, yes, and they're shipped, and you got to, and either raspberries or strawberries, you had to add sugar to them, you know, all those things.
You got to macerate them. You know, I grew up in the Midwest and we have some strawberry fields out there, but if we want great berries, they're almost always underripe and tart, and to the point of sour.
Mm-hmm.
Blackberries are one of my favorite berries, if not the favorite berry for my plate. And off season, I don't even eat them anymore, which is a great practice in general, which is and a whole different show and topic that we'll probably get into and from the butcher's block. But eating things in season lends to the best quality, the finest product. When it's off season, we're getting a lot of blackberries from Mexico. And again, they're picked early, they're shipped, and people are hoping that the ripening is taking place during transit. These are quality raspberries. Let's move away from the sweetness a little bit, though. We talked a lot about desserts in the last segment. Right off the bat, I want to go with something super simple and, to play with the beer, approachable. Why not a great butter-rubbed and herb-encrusted roast chicken? It's simple. You take the chicken, you maybe put a little butter under the skin, some pats of butter, some great rosemary, salt and pepper, and you let that roast to its own devices. The richness and the sweetness of the chicken is going to come out. This is a great, crisp, refreshing beer that should cut through that a little bit and also highlight the protein and the nuances of the chicken.
Right, and even if you were to add a little breading possibly to it, or a little black pepper too, just to kind of pull out the yeast spice as well. You know, that would help accentuate the yeast flavors. A little bit of black pepper. I'm thinking more of breadcrumbs in a way to maybe draw out some of the malt flavors. If you're not doing the raspberries, you may just be getting sweet. You may just be getting the yeast flavor. So in order to pull the bready flavors out of the beer, adding a little bread into the meal as well.
Sure, and I like where you're going, because for, I don't know if it's just that I'm hungry or if I had a chicken sandwich for breakfast this morning, but I want to stay in this very easy, comfortable realm right now, because one of the things we're trying to do with this show is to get people acclimated to the kitchen and incorporating beer as a pairing option with their food. The roast chicken is a no-brainer for me. People do roast chicken all the time. It's not too exotic. We don't have to get crazy. I was recently home for the Purdue Half Marathon, though, and my aunt invited us over for dinner because we weren't going to be able to get together after the race. And she made a very casual old chicken mushroom rice casserole with the she didn't put it on the top, but my mom and we usually put it on the crumbled saltine crackers before it bakes. So you've got cream of mushroom soup, wild rice with some of the spice and the earthiness. You've got definitely the earthy component of the mushrooms and that great rich chicken. This would be a fun beer to put with that because it brings in some of those notes you're talking about, the cracker, the yeast, the richness, the earthiness, but also some sweetness. That cream of mushroom soup is going to bring out a certain buttery golden sweetness that could play with this beer nicely.
Yeah.
There's nothing like comfort food.
No. And one of the positives for this beer when it comes to comfort food is that it is light, refreshing. It's a light body. It's going to have a higher carbonation level than an elevated carbonation level. I shouldn't, because there's more and more often it seems like beers are being carbonated a little more than what they're supposed to be. But this one has a nice elevated level of carbonation. And so whether it's the chicken that you're talking about and the savory fat and flavors of that, crackers, anything, the cleansing of the palate is... This beer is really great at cleansing the palate, getting you refreshed, and getting you ready for the next bite, too.
Sure. And our friend last segment, Astasia, was thumbs up for the fish and the orange beurre blanc that we were talking about with the Weissen from the last episode. Playing off of that, I could see this with a great seared scallop and like a Parmesan risotto as well. Oh, the richness and creaminess of the cheese in the risotto, the seared scallop. So hopefully we get another thumbs up for this one. But I think seafood is underrated when it comes to beer. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an opportunity there for you to be creative and to be experimental. And working with delicate flavors is something that can be a little scary, but can be very rewarding as well. The scallops are definitely have a inherent sweetness to them. A quick sear and some brown butter or just a straight crisp olive oil for some spiciness and a little pungency would be great. And it just makes my mouth salivate right now.
Well, yeah, and actually, I kind of spaced off as you're talking there because I was just imagining.
You're seeing it like, being served
wait,
to you?
Wait, what's happening? But I think maybe the perfect pairing for this is risotto. So you've got the pasta, which is a wheat-based pasta. It's a wheat-based beer. There you go. So there's your base flavor component. I want to have some mushrooms in there, some of that really earthy funk.
Yeah.
And maybe just a tiny bit of Parmesan cheese when it's
and depending
served.
On the style of mushroom that you use, there can be a little bit of sweetness or even a little bit of a sour component that comes out. You know, if you're using like a cloudier mushroom or even more of a baby Bella, and if it's, you know, cut at a good thickness, not your typical button mushroom, because you want to have a heartier mm-hmm. component to the dish for texture. But when you take the mushrooms, dice them up in a good size and structure, it should play with the rice and the Parmesan and the risotto beautifully.
Yeah, I was going even a little further. I was thinking like shiitake.
Oh,
I want something that
good
has
choice.
I want something that has a great flavor that's going to kick and shine through as well. To kind of go along with just the real subtle sort of farmhousey kinds of flavors that are in this. And thinking of the beers to come, we'll kind of keep that in mind, because I think on the next beer coming up that'll be a good one as well. But the wheats, certainly, I don't know if you can go wrong with risotto, other than the fact that it takes like 45 minutes or an hour just to cook it.
Yeah.
But,
now,
but that's...
Just to give us a... Because I like the chicken realm for this. I like the light meats, the hearty meats, but a lighter fare. You could take that roasted chicken that we talked about at the very beginning, take, you know, quarter out the breast, dice it up, and make an awesome light curry chicken salad. Throw that on a brioche roll with this beer, and you've got a great picnic lunch, or you've got a great casual afternoon, because you're getting, again, that hearty richness of the chicken with those subtle, light, refreshing spices and herbs that you would get with the curry, and the maybe even throw a little cranberry or grape into the mix.
Some may say that's an afternoon delight. I'm sorry, I've been... It's
I only pause awkwardly with a little grin on my face because I was on the cusp of starting to sing.
and because I don't want to get kicked off of Google or YouTube, I won't sing. And that's it. But anyway.
One of the best scenes in Anchorman ever.
Or... Arrested Development. They did a scene with Afternoon Light. But seriously, a great beer to kind of take along.
And Allagash White is a beer you can find in most liquor stores and beer menus in restaurants.
Yeah, I would say that it's probably, you know, this was something that I could get when I lived in South Dakota. So I'm guessing that wherever you're at, you're going to be able to find it. And, you know, this is a great introduction to Allagash. They've got some just crazy over-the-top flavors and beers throughout in their portfolio. So, you know, once you get comfortable with this, step out a little bit. Try their double, which is going to be, you know, just a little more sweetness. And
dare the triple.
And then their triple. And then go super sweet and 9% probably.
Do they even have a quad?
They've got quads. They've got all kinds of specialty beers, and the Kiro, if that's how it's pronounced, the one that's the bourbon barrel aged.
Yeah, the Kiro.
That one's probably my favorite. And I actually, when I was in Portland a few years ago, I was able to go visit their brewery, which was a lot of fun.
Very good.
Anyway, so I think that's a great spot for us to.
What I love right now is it's like we never missed a week. We're in rhythm. Remember, there was one time early on in our series, we took a little break and we came back and we stumbled on the opener. Sir, we are at a level of professionalism that I've not seen in the past.
I don't know about professionalism. It's just that you had practice last night with your show and I was sitting behind it and I'm just jonesing to talk today. So that's what it is. There we go. All right. So I'm Curtis Taylor, also known as Hop Edson.
And I'm Jason Hendrick, the Hungry Man from Everybody's Hungry.
And as always, we want to remind you to eat, drink, and be hoppy.
Cheers.
Catch you at the next pour.